Harriet Tubman is the subject of a new biography by Catherine Clinton. Throughout Tubman's career as a conductor on the Underground Railroad, she offered this advice to the fugitive slaves under her charge. If you're tired, keep going. If you are scared, keep going. If you are hungry, keep going. If you want to taste freedom, keep going. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that fortunately, Tubman found a biographer in Clinton who kept going, even though the difficulties of writing a biography of Tubman are enormous.
Harriet Tubman is both an irresistible and an almost impossible subject for biography. Here's a woman who escaped from slavery in 1849, then went back south numerous times alone to lead hundreds of slaves to freedom. She was called the Moses of her people, the only runaway slave and the only woman to serve as an in-the-field conductor of the Underground Railroad. After the Civil War broke out, Tubman was given authority by the War Department to set up a spy network in South Carolina. Her greatest coup consisted of guiding a sneak attack by Black Union troops on several plantations, a strategy that liberated more than 750 slaves in one night. And these are only selected tidbits of Tubman's extreme adventure exploits. So what's the catch to writing her life? Well, Tubman was illiterate, and her spoken reminiscences were light on emotion and detail. Add to that hurdle the fact that her service with the Underground Railroad and as a military spy were clandestine and therefore mostly undocumented, and you've got a researcher's migraine. No wonder that, apart from a hagiography written by one of Tubman's white patrons, a journalistic account, and some short monographs, Tubman's life has been mostly memorialized in biographies and plays aimed at young adults, where fancy has freer rein to fill in the considerable gaps of her life story. Harriet Tubman has long needed a serious biographer-detective undaunted by the lack of a traditional paper trail, and she's found one in Catherine Clinton. Clinton, who's a well-known scholar of African-American and Southern women's history, is secure enough in her intellectual creds to admit what she doesn't know about Tubman's life. Sometimes Clinton will offer educated guesses about why, for instance, Tubman's first marriage fell apart, or how she supported herself upon first arriving in Philadelphia as a fugitive slave. At other times, though, Clinton just lets the silences stand. Her just-published biography, called Harriet Tubman, The Road to Freedom, is a thrilling reading experience. It expands outward from Tubman's individual story to give a sweeping historical vision of slavery and the abolitionist movement. It also succeeds in its stated ambition to rescue Tubman from the mammy caricature that many of those juvenile biographies imposed on her. More a woman warrior than a mammy, Tubman here also comes across as a deeply autonomous person who trusted in her brains, her religious faith, and her considerable muscle and moxie to get her where she needed to go in life. Even the date of Tubman's birth is up for grabs. She was born Araminta Ross sometime around 1820 on the eastern shore of Maryland. Her family was large and loving, and they also lived constantly in terror of being separated by their owners. As a child, Tubman witnessed two of her older sisters being sold off to slave traders, and she herself was put to work at age 5 taking care of a white infant. Although she only grew to be 5 feet tall, from adolescence on she did hard outdoor physical work, chopping logs and hoisting big barrels of flour into carts. At some point in her teens, she tried to protect a fellow slave, a man, from the fury of a white overseer and got hit in the skull with a lead weight. For the rest of her life, Tubman suffered narcoleptic episodes and waking visions. Clinton can't say for sure why Tubman decided to make a break for freedom in 1849. She was married by then and surrounded by most of her extended family. But once she did escape, she went back and led some of her siblings and her aged parents, as well as many strangers, out of slavery's reach to Canada. The bounty placed on her head by outraged slaveholders was as high as $40,000. Still, she kept going back, armed with a pistol and her nerves. Clinton tells about a particularly difficult mission when Tubman was shepherding a party of 25 fugitives who had to hide in a swamp overnight and began losing their resolve. One escaped slave said he was giving up and returning to the plantation. Tubman put her pistol to his head and said, "Move or die." He kept moving until he and the others made it to Canada. It's considered quaint these days to look for inspiration in any kind of art. But as measured and scrupulous a historian as Clinton is, she can't help but create an inspirational biography in Harriet Tubman. Even the barest, sketchiest facts of Tubman's life are in themselves awe-inspiring.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Harriet Tubman, The Road to Freedom by Catherine Clinton.